Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I do believe it. There is a conspiracy to try to stop us from talking basketball today. We are going to talk a little bit about the Tar Heels win over the Wolfpack last night with Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News here. But when three of the greatest to ever do it as football coaches in this modern world of football is the most important thing that has ever been put on in front of us on a television. When Pete Carroll first, who probably was fired more than anything, kicked upstairs nicely, then Nick Saban, then Bill Belichick, all are no longer coaching, although Belichick will definitely be coaching next year somewhere, I would imagine. We got to talk to Mike DeCourcy about that, too. So, sir, should we start with Belichick? I mean, it's more than basketball. We're never going to be able to talk about the fact that Liverpool is going for a quad. Well, I don't even know if we're going to have time for it. So let's start with Belichick. I mean, it hadn't gone well the last several years. It does speak to not even the greatest coach can hoodoo up a good quarterback if you don't have one, and he clearly didn't have one. But how do you put whatever 24 years of Belichick in New England into perspective?
Yeah, I think it might have been a different... If I were writing, I'd say a different article or a different comment. If this happened in 2019, say, because I do think that the separation between he and Brady and then Brady's ability to then go elsewhere and win a Super Bowl immediately did make it seem like all those years when the question was it Bill or was it Tom? Was it Bill or was it Tom? I think the answer was it was Tom, and without Tom, I mean, he wasn't able to get a meager team to be solid or a solid team to be significant. And the kind of things that people in Pittsburgh are now yelling at Mike Tomlin about.
Right.
But he's gotten teams that aren't that significant, and have been they've been able to get to the playoffs. On Ben's last leg, on Mason Rudolph coming in and winning three games in a row after not playing for 2 years, those are the kinds of things that the greatest coaches have done, even if they aren't always winning Super Bowls. So I do think that although you can't deny the success and you can't deny the excellence there, and you can't deny his contributions to those six Super Bowls, I don't think that it's the same as it would have been, and I don't think he's going to do himself any favors if he goes, say, to Atlanta. I think that's what we're hearing. Is that what we're hearing?
Yeah.
I don't know that there's necessarily the recipe for excellence there either.
No, there isn't, and this is the embrace debate portion of sports conversations that I hate so much. Because it forces us to say it's either or. And my opinion is that, and Tom Brady proved it in the second year in Tampa, that if the parts around you aren't great, then it's really hard even for the great quarterback. And he proved it at the end of the era in New England, in his last year in New England, when there weren't any weapons to throw to. That, you know, it's really hard for him to look great because their offense looked awful in his last year in New England. So it was about a lot of things. It wasn't just about Brady. It wasn't just about Belichick. It was about everything. And when Brady got to Tampa, of course, they had elite-level talent around him. It was an all-star team, albeit an aged one, but an all-star team nonetheless, and a great offensive mind as a head coach. And Bruce Arians. So it almost seemed unfair to Belichick that, you know, Tom got to Tampa and there was the Mike Evans of the world and Gronk showed up and Leonard Fournette and Ndamukong Suh on the defensive side of the ball. It was everything was in place for that team to win, and they had to earn it too. They had to go on the road and do some of it, so or a lot of it, if not all of it. So
I think all of it.
Yeah. So it was. Look, Brady is certainly the best winner that we've ever seen at quarterback, and I thought the combination of he and Belichick were pretty lethal. I agree with you. It's not going to go well in Atlanta. But he's going to go wherever he can get full control, I would imagine, no?
Well, I think that that's probably a big part of it. But I don't know why I would trust him with full control, given that he was the one who invested in Mac Jones. And, we all saw the video and we all saw we saw him on tape playing for Alabama, and I don't think that a lot of people looked at that and said, okay, that's the next guy. And this is not, look, I don't think Pittsburgh did the right thing by taking Kenny Pickett at number 20, but I believe Mac went like 13th.
Yeah.
And that's not an insignificant draft pick. There's a lot of value there. And even, in most years at the quarterback position. And if there wasn't that year, you can't make it happen. You can't make Mac Jones into a significant NFL quarterback by taking him with the 13th pick. That doesn't automatically invest magic in him. So I think that he made a significant error there.
Yeah.
And I personally, at 72, if it were my franchise, that is not what I would be doing.
It is. I think there are a lot of Panthers fans that feel the same way about whether or not they would have interest. And we talked to Ben Volen of the Boston Globe. He thinks that Belichick would have interest in Carolina as well. And I would suggest for the Panthers, it would be a good idea because somebody needs to keep David Tepper out of the decisions. And maybe Bill Belichick would be the only person who could do that. Let me flip it to Nick Saban. There's too many things to get to in however much time we have. What is the best comparison for Nick Saban as a coach? Is it anybody in football, or is it somebody like Mike Krzyzewski?
No, I don't think it is Mike at all. I think that what...
Or is it Belichick?
I would say maybe more like a... Maybe I'm stepping a little bit outside of my comfort zone here, but maybe a little bit more like a Joe Torre. A guy who was thought of as just... not a bad manager, but not a great one. And then he goes to the cream of the crop franchise and starts cranking out pennants and World Series titles. I think that's probably more. I mean, when I was thinking, I was listening to Kraft a little bit on the radio, and he said that Belichick was the greatest coach of all times. And I love that, he's a billionaire and he said all times. I thought that was really something. But I thought to myself, no, hold on. I didn't buy that immediately for the reasons I suggested before. But I started to think, the reason I often come back to Mike is that Mike was a head coach at Duke in the 80s, 90s, 0s and 10s and 20s. And he had great success in every single one of those decades. That's five different decades in which he had success. Saban was really good for 25 years, but he was just good for a lot of the time before that. So that's why I kind of compare him to Torre a little bit, because Torre had other managerial experience that wasn't exorbitant, and then eventually built himself into a Hall of Fame level manager.
Yeah, you need all the. It, I guess it speaks to the fact that you need all the other pieces around you. But what Saban did at Alabama, it's unusual. There aren't many spots where it doesn't matter who the coach is, right? I'm not sure it matters who the coach is at Ohio State. Every single head football coach at Ohio State is one. All of them. North Carolina basketball hasn't always been the case, right?
True.
They've had.
I remember.
Right. Right. We've had it. Alabama football, for all of its. Championships, Bear, Gene Stallings, and Nick Saban, they've had their coaches that didn't necessarily win big. So it was, it took somebody like Saban the ability to maybe focus more than anything else, maybe stick to a plan where maybe that's what it is. And I think when Nick Saban took the job, if I recall correctly, he was asked, how do you get Alabama to where they want to be? He says, basically, with my voice being the only voice that they hear, to kind of block everything out that is around that program, because there can be a lot of distractions when it comes to coaching that way. I don't know. I mean, to me, it's hard to beat 6 national championships in a 12-year span.
Oh, if you go back to the start of his time there, he had 1 year, transitional year, first year.
Yeah.
Where I think they were, 8-5 or 7-6 or something like that. They won double-digit games every other year he was there. I think it was 16 consecutive years. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
They never had a rebuilding year once he got it going. And that's what made it extraordinary. And I think you understated a little bit what happened in between the Bear and Saban with the 6 or 7 years of Gene Stallings' competence and or excellence. It was a train wreck. It was a quarter century train wreck. I'll tell you a funny story. Last night I was going through the different coaches who failed there. Shula, not Don Shula.
Right.
Ray Perkins, yep. Bill Curry, Dennis Francione. And then I couldn't remember the guy who never got to coach a game.
Mike Price.
But I couldn't remember his name. So you know what I Googled? I Googled, "It's rolling, baby." And it came up. I knew. And so that was Alabama football for 25 years.
Yep.
And then he comes in and it becomes even higher in achievement than what Bear did there in the 70s. And who in Alabama ever thought that they would see a better time than what the Bear delivered in the 70s, but he had managed to do it.
All right. This has to be our final thing. And when I texted you to come on, I said we were going to talk hoops, and maybe we would talk about Liverpool going for a quad, and we're not going to get to either of those because all these two guys decided to end their coaching careers, at least where they are, in terms of Bill Belichick, because he's going to coach again. Things get in the way. Is this a more challenging follow?
The Pack Therapy Podcast is in session. Tim Donnelly here, host of The Drive and your guide for pack therapy. Every episode is your chance to score inside information on the pack. We set you up for Wolfpack games all season long, and we break down the ACC competition, what to watch for as we roll towards the tournament madness, plus special guests to keep your Wolfpack hope alive. Follow Pack Therapy wherever you discover your favorite podcasts or watch it on YouTube.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Then Mike Krzyzewski is for John Shire. Somebody stepping in at Alabama. Is that a more difficult thing to follow than what Mike Krzyzewski did?
Yes, and I'll tell you why. And I wrote about this today.
Perfect.
Because Mike, there's a lot of people out there still who think that what Mike did in 21-22 was an ego trip, as if he needed one. He's in every Hall of Fame. He's won gold medals and NCAA championships, all of that. But there was a method to what they did. There was a science to it. He's not the first. I'm not saying he invented it, because they did the same thing at Purdue when Gene Cady was ready to go. Now, in that case, I think it was a little bit more university-driven. Mm-hmm. But when Gene was ready to go, they said, okay, we're going to hire Matt Painter. He's going to be on your staff for a year. He's going to he'll do whatever you ask, but he's going to spend most of his time recruiting, and he'll be able to be more successful, and we'll be more successful because we planned for this. And that's what Duke did. They put John on the road instead of Mike, and he was the face of the recruiting process that year. And what did they bring in? They brought in Kyle Filipowski and Derek Lively and Mitchell, et cetera, and all these different players that formed a very good class that were able to go out last season and win the ACC tournament. And then some of them are still part of Proctor's, mm-hmm. another part of this team that may do better than that. And that, so there was a plan in place. And this is not the case. Greg Vern's a terrific AD, and I'm sure he'll do very well in this circumstance. But it's a harder deal when you aren't able to plan for this, when you aren't able to put in place someone who is a coach in waiting. When I wrote what I wrote, my editor said, well, they couldn't have done that. I said, why not? I mean, there's got, like, just using as a name, Kurt Cignetti, who was just hired here in Indiana, did a phenomenal job at James Madison. If he's the guy, and I don't not saying he is, but if he's the guy or someone that could be that guy, you could have hired him and said, you're going to be the next coach at Alabama. You're going to spend this year helping out and building a roster for 24, and we'll move on from there. And they chose not to do that, or they weren't aware of what Nick's intentions were. I think that Mike did Duke a service by what he did. And, yeah, did he enjoy coaching that last year and not wanting to go out on the COVID year? Absolutely. But it wasn't about Mike needs to be raised to the rafters one more time. He's gotten every award and every acknowledgement that he could ever ask to have.
Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News. I promise, next time we'll talk about the things we intend to talk about. Bill and Nick, we didn't even mention Pete Carroll. They all got in the way. I appreciate your time. At TSN Mike on Twitter from the Sporting News, Hall of Fame college basketball writer. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you. Like, seriously, I texted him yesterday. Hey, let's talk a little bit about State Carolina.
Yeah.
And because we're both Liverpool fans, we'll talk about the fact that the Reds are in position to maybe win 4 trophies.
Right.
Like, awesome.
And then yesterday said, hold my beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pete Carroll, which actually happened at the very end of our show. I didn't realize this until later.
Yeah.
Sometimes I decompress when the show's over. I didn't even check anything. And boom, that's that. And then Nick Saban about 6 o'clock, roughly, 5:30-ish. And, yeah.
Yeah. Bill, today.
Today.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.